Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Sonata Software Q3 FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sridhar Reddy from Sonata Software Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Steven, and good morning, everybody, for joining the analyst call post the announcement of our results yesterday for Q3 FY22. I have with me on the call today Mr. Jagannathan, who's our CFO, Mr. Raju, who's our Chief Delivery Officer, Mr. Satyanarayana, VP and Head of Finance, Mr. Sujit Mahanti, Head of our India business, and Mr. Rangapuramik, Chief Growth Officer of the company. The results and the relevant decks have been loaded onto the website along with the press release. I'm sure you all have had a chance to look at it. Overall, I think first of all, I'd like to summarize the quarter in line with what we have been saying about in the last few quarters, that we see the demand situation continue to look good. Obviously, we continue to have the challenges on the supply, though we do see that tapering off. We hope that taper off will continue into the future. We are continuing to invest for the future and creating capacities well in advance, and all those plans should, you know, fructify and start showing up in the numbers in a couple of quarters from now. One of the reasons I think we do have a little softening of the margins in this quarter is due to, I think we did some level of correction in the last quarter in the compensation and the cost of new people have increased. We also will continue to see a little softening as we do a correction in the compensation in this quarter and then in April. While we continue to see a good uptick on the demand situation, especially from the digital side, and clearly across most of our segments, the travel has taken a little bit of a, let's say, I would say slowdown because of all the issues with the Omicron and other stuff. We do think that, starting from spring, that is March, April, I think that should come back, and that's what we are expecting to happen. The company, as I mentioned, we continue to invest in improving our digital capabilities across the board. A lot of focus on the Microsoft digital platform capabilities apart from the Dynamics. A more focus on the data, cloud, Azure, and all the other related services. We're also starting to invest in the non-Microsoft cloud stack. A big, I would say, a performance boost this time has been our India business, and I think which has shown a huge uptick, not from really the top line, because the top line keeps varying based on the kind of deals we do, but more from an absolute bottom line perspective. As I said, we continue to see that kind of a trend in the India business as we expand into more cloud business in India and some other related services. Overall, I would, you know, summarize the quarter as a, you know, a continuation of the investments and strategies we have made in the past and the fact that they're starting to yield more results, both in terms of our story, both with our existing clients and new clients. I also did mention we do see a healthy pipeline both in existing clients and in the new pipeline on the digital side, and we'll continue to see that. So while we are and we continue to make investments in getting talent across the board, both on site and offshore. I did mention last time that we had opened a couple of development centers, one in Canada, one in Ireland. The pace of growth hasn't been at the pace at which we wanted, and that's because of the issues we were having with the travel and other restrictions. But we do expect those to start ticking in. There are a lot of other initiatives we have taken to take care of in the short term, the capacity and supply side issues. So that's really a summary of the performance for the quarter and what we look forward for the next couple of quarters. I'll hand it over to Jagan to you know, take you through the more detailed financials, and would be very happy to answer any questions you may have. Okay, thank you all again. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
All right, okay, I just hand it over to Jagan. So,
Thank you, Shikhar. Thank you all. Good morning all for this analyst call. This quarter, as Shikhar was mentioning, has been good to us from the revenue trend. The pipeline, the digital services, what we offer to the customer has been growing strongly. The revenue performance has been good. As you said, the domestic performance is not measured by the revenue what we have got. Revenue has been good this quarter, but the absolute growth in the profitability in the domestic business has been very good for us this quarter. And the current kind of demand that is coming out both in international and in domestic business have been very, very strong. So the for the quarter, the revenue growth and the profitability, EBITDA growth and PAT growth have been consistently growing. The quarterly CQGR of both EBITDA and PAT has been very, very strong over the period of time. There were some profitability impact for this quarter due to the corrections in salary, which we have mentioned in the last quarter also. There will be some short-term impact of the same. International services, the revenue has strongly grown. With the new acquisitions and addition, we have about 8.1% quarter-on-quarter dollar growth. Very, very strong growth has been reflected. On the constant currency basis, it has been very strong at around 6% growth. The PAT and EBITDA growth has been consistent there quarter-on-quarter, although the percentage has a little bit dropped for this quarter. Domestic business, as we mentioned, the absolute profitability has been very, very strong for the domestic business. We have very strong growth coming in this quarter, and we are very, very confident of the demand situation in India, and we will continue to have a strong growth in this. And the quality of revenue has also been very, very strong in domestic business also. Financial summary, this talks about the profitability and how much we have made on this. We had a strong revenue for this quarter. And strong profitability also. The PAT for this quarter has been 97.6 crore compared to 91.2 crore last quarter. Very strong growth of 7.1% quarter-on-quarter on profitability. And on the consolidated EBITDA also was around 7.6%. Operational performance mix has not changed between the geographies, not much of a change. It reflects the same, although the U.S. has been little more, and as Shikhar was mentioning, the travel has taken a little backseat, but we have a Europe hence a little bit small change in this quarter. However, U.S. has compensated that kind of growth. Our growth on Microsoft Dynamics services, Microsoft Digital Platform services, has been very, very strong, and the key quality of revenue or high digital revenues have been growing very, very strongly for us, and we continue to have a good kind of growth in ISV as well as in the retail. This time very happy, very strong. The on-site offshore mix has remained in the same levels for us for this quarter, and we expect this to be in this range for some time till the change happens in the overall post-COVID impact. Other operating metrics, We have added 11 new customers this time the year. Out of that, we have two customers in more than $1 million kind of customers. And we continue to add new customers very, very strong about it. Our headcount has gone up very well with about 175 people added this this quarter. This is a very, very strong, we have been having a strong growth of employee addition also during the last couple of quarters. With this, my financial update is there. Hand it over back to the host for the questions from us.
So should we begin the Q&A?
Yes.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Baidik Sarkar from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Srikar, hi, good morning, and congratulations on the great quarter beat on all counts. My best wishes to the team. Couple of questions. Could you flesh out the drivers within your managed cloud service line? What are the split here between implementation versus cloud-native development? And how should we understand the mix between Azure versus non-Azure in within the service line?
Okay, I think we have clearly broken it up in the Microsoft Digital Services and the
I will confirm that. So all of this is non-Azure, I'm guessing that.
Yeah, when you say open source is non-Azure, when you say Microsoft Digital, it's Azure.
Yeah.
Okay. And your first question was what is lift and shift, what is native development, and what is infrastructure migration. Was that the question?
That's right. What's the question? Okay. And, you know, how are you seeing the space progress?
Yeah. Currently, most of our business is on native development, and we are trying to push it up into more of, do also the migration, and while migrating, doing the re-architecting. So that's the where we are heading towards. Though the big consumption revenues come from actually when you do infrastructure migrations, especially data center migrations. While the consumption revenues are large for Microsoft, the service revenues as a percentage of that consumption is a little lower, but that's actually good in our India business if we can actually do greenfield stuff because the margins on the license itself are very high. So that would be my answer overall on the cloud team. And the Microsoft cloud, most of our revenues are currently on the Amazon platform, and they all come from our existing clients. We don't have still a very strong Amazon cloud go to market. So we're starting that in India, as I said, and try to expand it globally as we go forward. Google's cloud services would be a lot lower.
Sure, that's very helpful. Thank you. So on the Microsoft, obviously the lead indicators are obviously there from the ISV itself. Just given how they continue to deliver on both Dynamics and Azure, keeping that in perspective, how would you advise we imagine how your ISV practice will look, say, in a block of the next 3-4 years? I'm not asking for guidance.
Yeah,
this
as I said, there are two businesses. Microsoft ISV sell to revenue is what we sell to Microsoft. So that could be anything. Could be Azure, could be Dynamics, etc. What we do with Microsoft in the market is what I just spoke about, where we address customer needs jointly. Still a large number of that is Dynamics-led, but because Dynamics 365 is also cloud. So there are associated then cloud services, especially creating data, new data lakes on the cloud, especially around the Dynamics data and so on and so forth. So So as I've said many times, the revenues we make in the market along with Microsoft reflect more or less in the other industries. It can also left in the, it can also reflect in the ISV, but it's not necessarily all that we do for Microsoft. So please separate those two out.
Sure. And if I can just squeeze in one last question on your domestic business. You know, the revenue beat is substantial, and I'm assuming all of this is cloud-driven. So is it fair to assume that the earnings growth here in the years to come will be significantly higher because this is annuity, and the license consumption on this base itself is growing in very high double digits? So is a very steep jump up in earnings growth in your domestic business a fair assumption?
Yeah, earnings growth, as I said, you know, I mean, I did say last time, I steady 10 to 15% annual growth is certain. Whether we want to make it a 20% annual growth, we will confirm. And it will be driven by more cloud and our expansion to more clouds. It's also driven by the policies of remunerating partners on what kind of workload you move to the cloud. And that keeps changing. And one needs to keep close track of where we want to play to maximize our margins in that business.
Yeah, very helpful, Srikar. My best wishes.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Jain from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, one was related to travel slowdown. So like you spoke about this being a little slow in the March quarter, so should we expect like a flattish, or are you also expecting some decline because of some work which was stopped on the way? So that was one.
What we are saying is that it should stay this way in this quarter, and the growth we'll expect in the April quarter.
So March would be more or less flattish, and then you will resume.
Yeah. That's what we're expecting. I mean, you know, who knew of Omicron. So, I mean, I'm assuming that there are no such things where, again, there are lockdown, shutdowns, and travel becomes a little difficult kind of stuff. But overall, everybody is quite now, you know, I wouldn't say bullish, but practical about it, and thinks that things should start returning back to normal.
Okay. And second was on the salary correction. So what, because I did not see much impact on the margins for IT services segment. So was it absorbed and how much was it there? And when are the next corrections planned?
The next one we are saying we'll do this quarter. We did last January, and then we did some intermittent corrections throughout the year. We're going to do a big one this January, and then a follow-on offered in April kind of stuff. I'm assuming that should have about a 7%.
Meaning, so there is just two. There is one correction in Q3, then the other one in Q4, and there is one more in Q1, is it?
That's right. The Q1 will be the largest.
And how much is the impact? How big is this large? Meaning, is there a quantity?
We're looking at about 6-7% on an average on maybe about 7-8 crores.
In 4Q?
In Q4.
Correct, Q4. And then in Q1?
Maybe a couple of crores.
Okay. And then we should be done for the next year.
We hope so.
Yeah. And so where is your attrition currently?
We are at about 22-23%. But we see that flattening out in the last few weeks. And actually take a little dip. But we want to wait and watch. But we have made our plans to create our own capacities, and that capacity should start delivering in a couple of quarters from now, and hopefully we'll get back to better margins then.
Okay. And what was the impact for the quarter in terms of margins? Jagan sir, if you could help me, and then how much margins should be built on a steady state for IT services?
Okay. Maybe I'll ask Jagan to answer the question, but we had an impact of about 3.5-4 crores this quarter.
Oh, okay.
Mohit, as articulated earlier also in few quarters back, we have always maintained that in medium term, our EBITDA margins will be in the range of 23-25% in a normal case. And this impact can have a couple of percentage in impact that's coming in this quarter. We are also working on with the customers for release date, but net impact can be in a couple of percentage for this quarter.
So, sir, how much was EBITDA margin for IT services in 3Q?
It was around 27 compared to 27.8 in last
year. Adjusted for Forex movement, it appeared to me it is flat QOQ. Is that correct or is it down?
Yeah, adjusted for Forex movement, then it may be a little better, but I'm talking about EBITDA percentage.
Okay. And then on the console margin, like when we try to sort of add up the segment margin and then move to console margin, there was little higher impact. So is there something which is like when you add up the EBITDA of segments and then look at console EBITDA, usually there's a gap of 5-6%. This time I think it was little higher. So is there a line item which sort of impacts that?
Yeah, I will take it up offline with you on this, because there is some consolidations and some eliminations happen. That's the reason why it happens. I'll explain.
Okay. And last one is on DSOs. Any outlook on DSO segment wise, because they came off for one segment then also moved up for the other, which was little opposite compared to the historical trend. So what are you expecting in DSOs?
DSO, we are this quarter it will be a little more, Mohit, because December quarter is a lot of vacation during December. Last 2 weeks it's completely collections will be little delayed. This quarter not expected to have this kind of DSO. It will improve in the coming quarter, definitely.
And on the domestic side?
On the domestic side also. Domestic side, it didn't, in the, you know, that much of impact was not felt. It's just because you had a huge kind of a billing happening in this quarter, there was an impact of a day in domestic quarter, domestic business. It will go back to the normal level, but 32 category days.
Because on the domestic front, you guys are quite low compared to where you were a few months back.
Correct,
so
correct.
The question was, DSOs will move a period of time. Domestic, or will they move up again?
No, they are not expecting to move up, but will not also improve from very large extension here.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thank you, sir. That's all.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Satish Kumar from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is around, I'd just like to know what are the top 2-3 areas where there is strong demand in the cloud native application development space for you guys? And how are we positioned in that space in our client base? So are we gaining share in the transformation spend of clients, and that's the case, from whom are we gaining share? Thank you.
Sorry, there were too many questions. Can you just ask one question at a time, please?
Sure. So I would like to know what are the top 2-3 areas where there is strong demand for you guys in the cloud native application development space.
Oh, you're asking what are the 2-3 areas? You mean areas are in industries?
Yeah.
I didn't understand.
In terms of services, for example, like analytics, for example.
No, okay. Yeah, so it's across the board, right? It's across the board. So there are three things, whether it is architecting, re-architecting current solutions for cloud, building absolutely brand new surround solutions for the cloud. And the third is the creating the cloud data and analytics solution, both from creating the infrastructure for the cloud and then doing the cloud analytics. And of course, for us, we have the Microsoft Dynamics 365 on the cloud. That's a big service line for us. So we are seeing demand across all these segments.
Got it. And are we gaining share of this transformation spend of clients?
What is the question?
So are we gaining wallet share in the digital spend of clients?
What is our wallet share in digital set of clients?
Yeah. I mean, are we gaining share? No, because we are having strong set of numbers and
when I'm saying gaining share, one is we are getting new clients and growing with existing clients, and we have our share in our what we call set of services, and we continue to grow there. Yeah.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Thanks for the answer. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 at this time. The next question is from the line of Vipul Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for a very good set of numbers. Can I have the subcontracting cost for this quarter, please?
Jagan, you have that?
Yes, Sikar. The subcontracting cost in terms of dollars is around $4.5 million for us.
$4.5 million. Okay. Thank you. And sir, can you comment on performance of our recent acquisitions like Scalable Data Systems, Sopris, and Core? I mean, they all have turned around and have started contributing profitability?
Yeah, sure. I think Scalable has definitely been contributing. So has Encore. I think those numbers are there. And GBW, the one which was maybe a little older, it continues to be steady, although they get, because their services are customer experience measurement services, they do get affected when market shut down because there is a physical element to that measurement service. So that is varying, but overall, we are very happy with the progress with that business too.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vanit Savla, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. First of all, congratulations on excellent QC. I just had one question. I wanted to know that how much is the frequency of the renewal of the contract with Microsoft? And are we expecting gains in terms of revenues and services we provide to them in the coming FY?
Sorry, you're talking about a renewal of service as a partner to Microsoft or something?
Yes, yes, exactly.
We've been a partner with Microsoft now for the last 30 years. We started in 1991.
So, is that a contractual thing wherein your rates and everything get revised yearly or something, or it's a different way, mode of operation?
Oh, it's a service we provide Microsoft. So they, depending on the time, nature of contract, vary from annual to 3 years.
Okay. Yeah. And what kind of outlook are we seeing in terms of the revenue we generate as a service partner to Microsoft in the coming year?
I think we are quite optimistic in the growth, the thing across all the things we do with them, whether it is product development, customer support, internal IT, and working with MCS to serve customers. We are seeing good traction in all four areas.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning. So my first question is on the IP-led revenue. So, you know, we earlier, you know, we are very strong on the IP-led capabilities, the transformation. But the IP-led revenue has been coming down or has been weak for the quarter. So, any specific reason for that? And my second question is on the, you know, apart from tribal, we are witnessing strong growth in the, you know, in the retail vertical, apart from ISV and tribal. So what's happening in the retail vertical, both essential, non-essential? So is it like driven by the acquisitions, or is it organic growth that we are seeing, or from it is actually coming from new client additions there? And also, if you can give some more color on the distribution and manufacturing, I think vertical, what is happening there?
There were many questions. What was your first question? Was on the ISV vertical?
No, IP-led revenues.
Okay, and what was the question on IPS revenues?
No, so the IPS revenues has actually come down in this quarter. So I just wanted to
have
know.
Come down?
Yeah, yeah. So in, like, it come down in terms of the contribution, right? So it's in terms of contribution, also, you know, the growth there has been, lower than the company average. So that's what I was asking.
So I don't know. I think the numbers are about 8% growth of quarter on quarter on ITS revenues. Is that what you're referring to?
IP-led I'm talking about, sir. IP-led.
IP-led. Oh, okay. That's because,
yeah.
I mean, as a percentage, as we acquire more companies and the revenues of those companies are less IP-dependent, that's why we will see that flattening out or decreasing as our overall revenues go up. Okay. Oh, I understand. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
No, because we have seen a decline in the IP led after a very long time. And so is there any specific reason for that or is it actually led by some specific client?
No, it's not. It's what I'm trying to say is it is those revenues are remaining flat as we are growing other revenues and some of the acquisitions are non IP led. So to that extent, as a percentage that has decreased. Is that clear?
Yeah. Okay. And also on the vertical flavor, what's happening in retail, essential, non-essential, and also on the manufacturing and distribution. So we were earlier focusing on having verticalized capabilities, both on manufacturing, distribution, and also on the commodity side. So what's the any update on that will be useful.
So absolutely, I think we are seeing good traction across all the verticals we are operating, apart from the travel vertical, and across all the service lines we are looking at. So whether it's the essential retail, non-essential retail, manufacturing, distribution, commodity, agribusiness, ISVs, we are seeing the demand situation as being very good. So
any specific geographies that we are specifically looking for distribution manufacturing, or is it across geographies?
So it is across geographies, whether it is the US or Asia or Europe, Australia. So a lot of it is also led by the traction we have with Microsoft in each of the geographies. In some geographies, we'll have greater traction across more verticals. In some traction, we'll have some geographies will have traction in only one or two verticals kind of stuff, where we have to expand the traction in other verticals.
Yeah. Until the other question is on the offshoring. So offshoring is the caution at 69-70% for us. So is there any further scope for increase in offshoring? So what is your view on this? And also, we are at around 90% utilization rate. So how sustainable is this?
Offshoring, I think we should keep it at the current number. As I said, as more and markets open up and the requirement for more nearshore, I won't even call it offshore, but requirement for more nearshore services will increase kind of stuff. So we'll right now we'll keep it at wherever we are. I don't see too much scope there. But the second question,
90% utilization, how sustainable it is?
Right now it is because of the demand situation, it is sustainable for the next few quarters. But yeah, we'll go back to our steady state once we get out of this current huge demand situation and we build up a capacity, then we'll be back to whatever our earlier numbers were.
Okay. And so my last question on specifically on the attrition scenario and what is going on with the IT company. So how difficult is to hire freshers and exactly not to hire, but how to train them and how exactly is the replacement that we have to do of freshers with, say, a person who is like 3 to 8 year experienced guy. So what is the acceptance of the client there and what challenges we are facing in terms of delivery, if any?
Okay. And the key is really convincing the client. I think that's the key. Rest of it is manageable because end of the day, the people you hire from campuses on an average are smarter. They're being trained with very specifically on what we do and how we do and what we are focused on and so on and so forth. To that extent,
they understand what we do a lot better. The key is to get the client's attention, and given the kind of a demand situation and supply situation, there are people who are willing to be quite open to looking at this rather than strictly believe that. It's also trying to convert it from a purely people-based to more managed services and some, you know, output outcome, and you continue to have those conversations.
Okay, so thank you, and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehul Bhatt from Oyster Rock Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Shrikar. This is relating to the India business. You know, we are seeing, I mean, obviously the, you know, your optimism is well-founded right now, but what we've seen over the last couple of decades is that, you know, India business, people get excited, and we've seen, you know, retraction from the large guys also over the last, you know, two decades where, you know, suddenly it looks interesting and then, you know, everyone comes in, margins reduce, and, you know, then the business becomes commoditized. Is it the optimism now, is it because of the propensity of domestic clients to pay better? Is it growth? I mean, what is leading to this?
I'm talking about services business in India, and I'm talking about our license business in India. So and that we have mastered now. We've been doing it for 30 years.
Right. Sure.
So the margins are anyway real skin there anyway to start with.
Right. Yeah. Sure. So, no, but on the services side also, we
there only for the scope for going up.
Right.
So it's not the services business where you are talking about people came in, burnt their fingers, and the margins go away or you lose and all kinds of other things happen.
So
this is because our positioning, our relationship built over now 20, 30 years with all the clients.
Sure.
To understand this business very well, what goes into it.
Right.
Service better, given that all the other factors are remaining the same kind of stuff.
Right.
So it's not like this, the services business where, once in a while people come in thinking there's a lot of opportunity, but then there's disappointment because of the margin and other things.
Right. But on the domestic cloud business, there is also, I mean, a lot of action, right?
There's a lot of action, but that's still money we make from our principals, right? For
clients
to buy these cloud platforms, and not the remaining part is a service we then deliver. That we have to be extremely careful about where we deliver services, what services we deliver, and how much of that then leads to further consumption. Because then, apart from the money you make on the service, you make some money on the additional consumption on the underlying platform.
Right. Yeah. Sure. So the pure play cloud service business in India still is nascent and not very profitable. Is that a fair way to think about it?
I mean, you're asking me to make a generic industry statement now.
Right. Yeah.
I think so. I don't know. It is not nascent. It is there. But like any other thing, there has been always been a challenge of, I guess, delivering these services in the current context where the differentials and the demand for the same service is so high somewhere else, then it becomes a completely different game altogether.
Sure. Got it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Shrikar. Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipesh Mehta from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just want to get sense about the Microsoft relationship. Can you help us understand what would be the revenue coming from Microsoft as a client, where we are dealing Microsoft for different work which we are providing to them? And how much would be coming from overall partnership where we are going jointly with Microsoft and get revenue from third-party client kind of thing? If you can provide some sense on that, Nick. And how that mix has evolved for us, let's say, over the last couple of years?
We can't give exact numbers of what we do with each client, but definitely all the Microsoft-related services which are mentioned in our service line revenues, right, some part of it will be for Microsoft, and some part of it will be for other clients. So that can give us a measurement of how much revenues we make on both sides of the partnership.
So if I look at it, it's roughly around 50% currently. And a couple of quarters back, because we changed reporting, but when we started, let's say Q3, it used to be around 44%. Whether this incremental growth coming is Microsoft as a client or...
there are more the growth coming from our go-to-market with them.
Okay, so go-to-market explains a large part of incremental growth opportunities.
That's right. Yeah, because the opportunity is much larger.
Understand. The second question, I just want clarification. We report billability as a part of data set, one of the metrics. What it indicates?
Sorry, what was the question?
As a part of our data set or presentation, we report one number as billability. What that metric indicates and how we calculate, if you can help me understand.
Okay. Jagan, you want to answer that question?
Yes, Sikar, I will take that question. The billability is the utilization of billable people who are in a kind of a billable project. It may be a kind of internal project or they are in the training mode also. Billability is what we bill to the customer, to the people who are deployed on the project.
So the gap of roughly 9-10% explains training related stuff.
Not only training, there are other related activities are there for people. Okay, they may be working on to other support areas for the project. There may be some people working on those areas also. They may not be for a specific customer also. It will be for like development of framework or other ready for the codes. There are other directly related to question.
Understand. And one thing you said about what number you gave for medium-term EBITDA margin for international IT services business, I missed that number.
It's medium-term, what we said EBITDA percentage should be between 23 to 25%.
Okay. Thanks. And last question is about Fraser. Can you help us understand how we are looking Fraser intake is a part of overall talent management, and any number if you can share.
Are you on the call?
Fraser,
yeah, intake. I'm there. The
can you answer that question?
Yes, we are looking at 15% of next year hired from engineering colleges, and we'll have another 5% of people from management grads and higher end engineering colleges. Totally 20% will be taken from the fresh campus hires.
And that compared to this year number, how would be that number different?
This year goes up by 40% next year compared to this year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ronak Vora from OM Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I have two questions. Firstly,
Mr. Vora, sorry to interrupt. Your voice is not clear, sir. If you can speak closer to the handset.
Is it okay now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Sir, I have two questions. Firstly, on the domestic business end, our gross margins have improved dramatically for the quarter, but our EBITDA margins are down. So can you just elaborate?
Jagan, you want to answer that question?
Yes. The gross margin to that extent because of the direct cost, the impact of the direct cost will be more in this coming quarter, although we have rolled out to specific people. The EBITDA margin is because of the other cost increases. There are cost increases like, as Shikhar was mentioning, specific people, identified people, those costs have also been there. And also because of what our acquired entities costs are getting added for one of these quarters, hence that trim is happening.
Okay, sir. And secondly, in the total top line of 1800 odd crores, how much would be due to acquisition and how much would be organic?
In the domestic, no acquisition.
And international, if you can.
Hello?
International, yeah. Okay, can I take that question?
Yeah. I mean, I was trying to tell him there's no acquisition in the domestic numbers.
In international, the contribution from, you want to know the revenue or the profit?
Revenue would be much better.
Yeah. Out of the total revenue of $53.4 million, about $4.4 million is from the acquired entity for this, in this quarter.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sameer Pardikar from ICICI Direct. Please go ahead. Mr. Pardikar, your audio is not clearly audible, so if you can speak closer to the handset, please.
Sir, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Please proceed.
Yeah. So I said thank you for the opportunity and congrats for the good set of numbers. My question pertains to the product business, and the volatility that you explain is because of the deals that you do. So can you help us little understand in detail what kind of deals that you do because of this, the volatility happens in this business?
So the deals happen based on when some clients renew their contracts for the year, and some large contracts fall in place in Q3, and these contracts are fairly large, like $50 million, $100 million. So, and then because of the size of the deal, the margins are lower than normal. So there will be a waviness and lumpiness to these large deals, which will take the revenue up and down.
Okay. And second thing, did I hear correctly that you are looking for 15 to 20% growth in the domestic business this year?
I did mention a 10 to 15% growth, and we should get that. And I said we will confirm whether we're comfortable in committing a 15 to 20%. That's the EBITDA growth. That's not the top line growth.
That's in the domestic business.
In the domestic business, correct.
Okay. And the margin, you said 20 to 25% in the domestic business.
In the international
business. International business.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Dhruva, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So I had one question, Mr. Shrika. Basically, that question is around where is Sonata coming in terms of the domestic license sale supply chain? Because when it comes to the cloud aspect, I mean, I assume that people would go to portal.azure.com and provision whatever VMs they want and so on and so forth. And understand in a traditional licensing business, Sonata would have to provision the licenses for clients in India. But in this completely cloud-based ecosystem, how and where does Sonata fit into the picture? I'm just trying to understand the model here.
Oh, okay. I'll ask, I don't know. Sujit, are you on the call? Not there.
Sir, Sujit is connected, sir.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, did you get his question, Sujit?
Yes, I got the question. I'll answer that. So, whether it is a physical license or is it cloud license, finally it has to be provisioned to the customer. In case of a physical license, the license keys are given. In case of cloud license, the partner has to help the customer to provision it. And in both cases, finally, a partner is required because of two, three things. One is that obviously there is a commercial transaction which has to go through in a particular country where we have the contract. And second thing, once the license is supplied, either in a physical way or in a cloud way, there is a lot of handholding which is required in terms of actual usages of the license. and then how to provision it for different departments or individuals within the customer organization. So in all these three stages, the customer involvement is required.
Okay. Thanks a lot for that. So as a corollary, then anybody using and buying Azure in India would essentially be having the contact with Sonata. Is that?
Specifically, if you're asking about Azure, Microsoft doesn't sell anything directly. So obviously, you need a partner to be to handle that
transaction. Okay, understood. So basically, any Microsoft revenue in India from a license standpoint, product standpoint, will definitely flow through Sonata. That's what I understand. Is that the correct understanding?
Not necessarily Sonata. There are other partners too.
Okay. Got it. Okay, but well, definitely through a partner.
That was the case.
Okay. And another question related to this cloud services that you offer, again, in the domestic market. So is the platformation definitely a part of it, of any of the cloud projects that you do, especially on the Microsoft platform? Or is it something that is optional?
As I said, the majority of our business in the domestic market is right now provisioning on the license, and little of it is on the services side, right? Internationally is where we are providing cloud services.
Understood. So thanks a lot, Mr. Shikhar and team. So congratulations and good luck for the coming quarter.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Harshil Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Just one question. Want to understand any plans for inorganic investments domestic in India?
Yeah, we continue to look for good opportunities, whether they're in India or outside India. For the same reason which can align to our strategy, which will help us give us a more differentiated proposition, make us stronger with our client. So we continue to look.
Any areas which we are trying to diversify or get into it, specifically looking, or it's just, I mean, normally which aligns with our long-term vision?
It aligns with our long-term vision. It has to align to our strategy. So it could be something which will strengthen our Microsoft story. Sometimes it could be a strengthen our industry vertical story. And sometimes we want to look at things which will speed up our other cloud go-to-market. So the reasons could be any, and including, you know, getting into a new vertical.
Okay. And so just I'm referring to your presentation. There it's mentioned M&A investments of, 46 crores in FY21. So it's 46 crores, right? I mean, I just got confused there.
Jagan, you want to answer the question?
Yes. Okay. This is on the, whatever is the Encore addition, whatever the payment we have done, we have mentioned that.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Okay, thank you, Stephen. Thank you, everybody, for joining the call and continued support. Thanks for all the great and highly interactive discussions. Look forward to staying in touch and look forward to seeing in your future calls. Thank you all again. Stay well, stay safe.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Sonata Software Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.